praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Sometimes it's good to go in light. I'm not very good in English, so you just speak good English. I'm speaking the one I know because I'm not very good in it. It's only by the grace of God that I can speak it. Another thing is that, you know, Americans, you have a lot of accent, and we don't have it, and you say we have. So, I think you have problem, we don't have problem. So, with this, you must know you have problem. So, whatever I'm doing, just correct yourself, because I know you. Praise the name of the Lord. You know what? It's good to have men of God together, worshiping together, being together. When the man of God was speaking, I said, it's good to go in light. And why do I say that? You know, I didn't know that I will meet somebody who knows my teacher. Yeah. And maybe if I am a bad boy in the class, I could have now been in trouble. somebody remember when I preached, when the trouble hits what? When the trouble hits your life. You know? Now, I am very good. Let me tell you, call that man of God. Brother Elbo is a very strict teacher. If you have ever seen one, he is very strict. He don't favor nobody. He just say, it is right. You have to do it right. See, sometimes see him and say, my Jesus. He cannot even favor me because he knows that I'm not that smart. He can just sometimes ignore some of the things, but he don't. He said, you have to do it right. So he's a good man, and he's my friend. Let me say, the whole family, the father, the wife, is a secretary to the college, and Abel himself, his brother, they are all my friends. Let me tell you, when my wife was taken to court the first time, the first people to help me was his dad. He gave me $500. And he said, Brother Paul, don't mind, we'll help you out. Give me $500. He didn't know me. He knew nothing about me. But from that time and to this time, we are together with them. I don't want to get a lot of time because, you know what, I was just saying, this man is... Okay, now I have some friends to go to Africa. He's among those friends that are going to Africa. So he have to prepare himself. I don't know if we are going to sing all. Can we sing another time and I preach this time? Can I sing another time, Swahili and there? Can we do that? Yeah, with your permission, I do that now. I will preach instead of singing now. But I like singing my Kikuyu songs. Kikuyu songs. I always like this song that says, Ditiga kuga baba ne wega tandole ojo he embele oliangoe ninda sokia gago bele aku e kuga gane wega tulaga ogo jesu nani edole gizoka giangago agalo yekene ne waire malu amabata makunyo nerelia anjela ya igolo. You know, sometimes I want to just get you from America and take you to Africa. And just have something little from Africa. You know, that song says, you, my friends, you know that we are not born with with the abilities of this world. But we were created in His image to do His will. And now we belong to that city and not this city. So we are, our citizenship, what that song says is that our citizenship is not of this world. We are just foreigners. And I thank God that even Americans are foreigners in America. Even Americans are foreigners in America. And I thank God because I am a Kenyan, but I'm also, I'm not a citizen there. Let me tell you. I think we will, one day I'll talk about citizenship. And the Lord have been dealing with me with that when I was asleep. But I said, I'm going just to say something very little. Can we all please stand and read the word of God? And please don't tell my teacher that I did not follow the theological way of preaching, because I'm not going to follow that. Let's go to the book of Joshua 11. Oh my Jesus. Verses 21. I don't know where it is now. You know, I don't have notes. You'll forgive me today. You know what? It's just coming from kitchen now. It's hot. So, know that we are going to get from God. So, let us read from verses 21. You read from the Bible that you have. I'll read mine. Mine is King James Version. And I will read without accent and read with your accent now. And at that time, came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountain of Ahareb, and Debor from Anam, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. Can we all read verse 22, please? There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod there remaineth. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are here as your servants, O Lord Jesus. We want just hear from you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, O Lord. Send your angels to go around us, O Lord. As they interpret these scriptures, O Lord, we cannot without you, Lord. We bless your name. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Can we all have your seats, please? Verse 22, I read it again. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel, only in, can we say, Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Before I continue, how many cities were left? How many cities were left by Joshua? The Bible says one is Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. How many cities were left?
Three.
Yes. Three cities were left by who? By Joshua. You know what the word of God had said to the children of Israel? When you go to Canaan, do not spare. Do not spare nothing. Kill, destroy, and be destructive. The Bible says, and God said to them, that if you spare them, there will be a thorn in your midst. So God said, do not spare these people. But Joshua, a man of God, who was very good and faithful man of God, what did he do? He spared Gath. Yes. Now, these people are good students. Yeah, they are good students. I want just you get only those three cities. Because what I want to speak today is the evil that Joshua did. In all our lives, sometimes we feel as servants of God, sometimes as we cannot do something wrong. And sometimes we do something wrong, although we try to justify. You know, we try to say, when you have done something wrong, that's the time you speak in tongues until you get up, your legs are up and down, like everything like that. That's when sometimes things are not very good, very good. Joshua spared three cities. My topic today, Why do people backslide? Why do people backslide? Or let me put it like this. Why do Christians backslide? You have seen, and maybe many people that God saved with you, they are not in the church today. You have seen there are very many people who were in the church when you came, and they are not there today. Why do Christians backslide? Why do they backslide? Joshua was a man of God, and he was a faithful servant of God. The Bible tells me that Joshua was only the man that came from, you know, Joshua and Caleb were only two men that survived in the wilderness. Others died there. There are only two, Caleb and Joshua, that survived. So he was a man of God. And not only that, when they were sent to spy the land, Joshua came and said to the congregation, others are saying we cannot make it, but I want to say we can make it. The other people are saying we were just like locusts. The locust spirit. Come on, let me not go there. So, you know, some people have got locust spirit in the church. But let us not talk about that. Let us now go to the main. I like talking about that. You know what happened? They said that we were just like locusts. You know, in Norwich City, you are not a locust. You are not. You can reach somebody. Let not those spirits tell you that you cannot. Shut that spirit out of you that tells you we are locusts. We can do nothing in Norwich. No way. Tell it, no way. Okay, I'm not going to that. If I go to that, I'll go and divert my message to somewhere else. But I don't want that. Let me say this. Joshua was only the person, or Joshua and Caleb were only two people that survived in the wilderness. And they can't rule until they went to Canaan land. The word of God was what? If you go to Canaan, don't and never spare even a child. Spare and kill and destroy. Huh. Here is a man of God. Is coming, killing, and destroying the cities. He came to the city of Gaza. What happened? What was the word of God? Stray utterly. Stray all. But what happened to Joshua? He said, this looks good. Okay, let us just spare this. I know what God said, but let me just spare this. And he went to Gaza. And he went to Gath. After going to Gath, he saw, you know what happened? And please, I'm not focusing to anybody. I'm just saying what I know. Brother Ebo is my teacher, and he knows that he has been teaching us about history. So we know what is Gaza. And please, if you go and you don't know Gaza, go and read Gaza. Gaza was a city that every tracts and every, it was a big center where many business were transacted. You know, and many people were meeting that city because it is just the city from the Arabia and Israel and Egypt. So that was a big city where the roads met, and there were many people there. So when he went there, he just looked and said, this is like of gold. Yeah. My Jesus. See that? Oh my, that looks good. He went there and said, this building, man. My, God said destroy, but not this one. So he just went and said, come on, this is very good. This is very good. He spared that city. He went to a city of Gath. I'm going somewhere. He went to Gath. You know what? There were walls of the houses, the walls that surrounded the city, was 5 meters wide, which is about six yards wide, the wall itself. So even atomic bomb, it was hard to go through this thing. So Joshua was there and looking like this and said, yeah, we can destroy, but you know what? Let us spare this with a good reason. You know, let me spare this with a good reason. And the reason is, maybe we can be coming from that far and the enemies are fighting us, are coming in. We can just go here and spare our lives. So let us just leave this for a good reason. You know, it was not a bad reason. It was a good reason. He went to Ashdod. It was a big city with thousands and thousands of gods. It was where Dagon was. Them that are theologians, they know that it was where Dagon was, and when the Ark of the Lord came, it was just placed there, and the Dagon was falling on the Ark. You don't need to be a theologian to know that. You know the Bible. And you know what? Joshua went to that city and he said, I think we can transform this to a church. You know, it was something, you know, it was easy. But what were the words of God? Joshua had a good reason. Pastor, sometimes, you know, we have to think like people. How can I destroy a beautiful building? Look, that altar. My Jesus. That altar is good. You just figure out when the pastor is going. Coming out of that altar, beautiful altar there. Come on, Joshua. I think it's good to spare this. How do you see that? Oh, Joshua, yes. Yes, I think don't destroy this. Why do people backslide? That's my question. Let me hit the nail on the head now. Let us go to the book of Judges 16. And verses 1 and 2. Judges. Somebody can read with me. I don't know even where Judges is. It's after, it's after Joshua. Okay. Judges what? Can we read all? Then went Samson to Gaza and saw the what? Can you remember Gaza? Do you remember Gaza? Yeah. Gaza was what? The city that was? Okay. Let me ask you a question. If Joshua could have destroyed Gaza, could this harrow come on? No. He could have died. She could have died. But what happened? Joshua spared Gaza and this harrow came up. Because it was a city of harrows where all people meet. You can see them there. And then they spared that city. And Joshua had a very good reason of sparing the city. Because it was beautiful. Now, because it was beautiful, he spared it. But the problem is, God had said, destroy. Now here is a woman coming up. Destroying a man of God. Man, do you know Samson? Samson, when he was still in the womb, God was still speaking that he is his Nazarene. And he told the mother, take care. Don't take anything that is bitter. Don't even take a wine. And the mother, take care of this child until when he was born. And the His hair was not even cut as per the rules and orders of priests. That a Nazarene cannot what? Shave the hair. So everything was done according to the word of God by them that raised Samson. But listen,
Samson went to Gaza, the city that was spared by Joshua. And he met a harlot there. A man of God was destroyed because Joshua spared the city. If Joshua could not have spared that city, they could not have that harlot there. And now sometimes, come on, let me say this. We do spare the cities in ourselves, that the city that God said destroy, and we spare them, they do kill us and destroy us. And if God say finish it, please, He mean it. Finish it. Kill it. Destroy it. Before I go somewhere. One. I think somebody is understanding what I'm saying now. 1 Samuel 17 verse 4. 1 Samuel. Are we going somewhere? Can somebody understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. How many cities have you spared? I don't want to. Don't answer that. You know that. Verse 4 here. And there went out a champion out of the camp of Philistines named... Come on, read, man. Let us go there again. Verse 4. And there went out a champion out of camp of the Philistines named who? Goliath. Of where? You know the story, man. You know the story. I don't want to read the whole page. I'm telling you, I know you know about Goliath. And there come out in a camp a man, his name was?
Goliath.
From where?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember Gath?
Yeah.
Gath was a city that was spared by who? If Joshua could have destroyed Gath. You know what? People do spare the cities that God said destroy. And they destroy themselves. The problem in Israel was not that God was not with them. It's only that they were sparing what God said destroy. The problem in the church today is not that the Holy Ghost is not there. It's only sparing what God said destroy. My Jesus, 1 Samuel 5. I don't know. Sometimes I feel good. Like now, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling the Spirit of the Lord in me now. We are going somewhere. Tell your neighbor we are going somewhere. My, verse 1. Can we read verse 1, please? All of us, let us read all. If you have the Word of God, say amen. If you don't have the Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. I know now there are some who don't have Bible. So let us write read louder. And the, all of us, let us read that. And the Philistine took the ark of God and brought it to Abimelech and to... Can you remember that city?
Yeah.
That is the city that was spared by who?
Joshua.
Why did he spare it? He had a good reason. I don't want to know. He had a good reason. In fact, even if you meet anybody who is doing something wrong and he's a Christian, she or he have a good reason. But regardless of the reason, God said destroy. Now, if Joshua could have destroyed Ashdod, could we get these people? Could we get this house? Now, you know what happened? The ark of the Lord came out somewhere where it was supposed to be, and it was brought to Ashdod, the house of Dagons, the house of idol gods. If you can, I wish you would go and read
the story of Ashdod and to all encyclopedias and all these things, so that to know more of what I'm saying. You know, it says clearly that it was a city full of gods. Ashdod was a city that was full of gods. And now, when those people got the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, you know what they took it? Let me ask you, if they could have destroyed, where could they take the Ark of God? They could not have taken it there. I thank God for the preachers and ministers. They shout like they are mad because they are people who are not doing right. And thank you very much for them, because you have to tell them, destroy. Destroy the city. Now, this is the thing. You either destroy the city or the city destroy you. What do you want? There are only two things here. You either destroy the city or the city destroy you. The Israelites spared the cities. And there were three cities. And Joshua, if you read the book of Joshua 11:21 and all of Joshua, you'll see he destroyed every other city. But he spared only this. And to this time, you read news, you get Gaza. You still have it. And you know why? They spared it. And to today, it's a big problem to the children of Israel. Let me say this. There are many, many, many things that we can learn from the past. Let me say something little. Can we go to the book of Galatians 5:19? Is the book you know very good. I'm telling you, these people can sing it. I know you can sing that. It's a good book. Everybody knows that. No, I don't think a pastor or whatever you call ministers is very hard to see them like 2 months without reading this scripture. It's very hard because it's a good scripture. That's why I'm reading it too. Verse 17 says, okay, verse 19. Now the work of the flesh are manifestly, which are these. One. What is that? And the second one? And the third one? Number four? Let me ask you. These are the cities that you have to destroy. No, come on. I don't want to point anybody, but I want you to think now. Verse 19, we start again. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. How many fornicators do we have in the church? You want to say no. I know you want to say no. I'm telling you, you want to say no. I told you, in my country, I'm a bishop. But here, I'm a student, please. I'm a bishop. 83 churches. And we have 102 pastors work under me. 329 elders works under me. And if I can open my email and go through, maybe that's when you can understand what I'm saying. You want to say that there is no adultery in the church? I'm telling you, there is. And that's why you see people leaving. And it's a city that you did not destroy when you were coming in the church. And when the pastor said, come and kneel here, and let me take you to the water. What he said to you is, destroy the city. And if you did not destroy the city of fornication and adultery, I'm telling you, it will finish you and you will complain. You know, I have never, in my 26 years of service, I have never seen one person leaving a church without a complaint. Yeah. Right. Pastor's wife. Is he the pastor? That church. Come on, you are destroyed by the city that you spared. Don't just bring problems to other people. You know,
If you are destroyed by the city that you spared yourself, don't complain and start accusing other people. You know, pastor, I pity pastors. I'm telling you, sometimes even members come to, you know, to sit down with me and talk about it. And I say, can I ask your pastor? No, Bishop, don't ask the pastor. Come on, why? And it is true. So if you don't want me to ask the pastor, don't tell me. And that's what I always tell people. If you want to keep off these people who bring a lot of problem in the church, tell them. And even if you can write on your shirt here, anything you tell me, I'll tell the pastor.
Right.
So they will they will never do this to you. And be telling them, anything you tell me, I will tell the pastor. That's a good song. Be singing that song every Sunday. Anything you tell me, I'll tell the pastor. Come on. Because if it is good, why don't you want me to share with my pastor? I will tell you this, but take care. Let not the pastor know. I'm telling you, the first person to know is the pastor. I will tell him. So let me tell you one thing. Tell your pastor everything that is happening to save the church. Come on. Let's go on here. So I want to say that mostly when you get fornicators in the church and the adulteries, you know what they do? They just go complaining. And they want to say that people in that church, they don't have love. They speak about people. Come on. You are destroyed by your city that you spared, and you don't want us to tell you destroy the city? Come on. If you have that problem, destroy that problem, then we can go together. Man, no, you cannot complain all time that we are talking about you. If the city is still there, please, I will even call you to the pulpit and lay hands on you to kill this demon before it kills the church. I'm not going to say that. Well, God help me. There's a... You know, I went to a church recently. We were with my wife. I was called to preach. And we were... it's an apostolic church. There were... The church had gathered about 5-6 pastors, their wives, and them. So the wives of the pastors were in the front seats, you know that. But they came with little handkerchiefs like this. When they sit down, they were sitting like this. I had a lot of trouble and problems. I said, I cannot tolerate this. And you know, I am myself. Even if you don't want me preaching this church again, fine. Because I am sent to whom that God wants me to talk to. So that's why I don't have programs. I've been telling you I don't have programs because when God says go here, I just go. I tell one of the ladies that were there, please, can you go and say that's it? Because she was very careless. She was sitting like hell. And I'm here preaching. What do you want to show me? And it's a pastor's wife. I don't mind. I don't mind what you can think of me. Because I'm your friend. And that's why I want you to destroy that city. How many ministers? You know, you try to preach here. But the things you are seeing in the pews cannot even let you preach. Because they are nonsense and type of the things that in your front. Come on, what do you think? I'm not mad of anybody, but this is what I want to say. Please, don't even put this. If you don't want to wear a good dress, why do you put this? Just forget it. Just sit as you want. Why put it? You know, in our church in Kenya, we are very strict. Very strict. All ladies have dressed like my trouser. You have seen my wife in the picture. Many people have seen my wife. Ask Abba. She cover. You have seen her in the picture. Because I don't want these styles of hair. I don't like it. Let me say, I have one step ahead of what God said. I know God said yes. He don't say that, don't do this. But I'm one step ahead because I want to do what God wants. And you say, you poor, you are so legalistic. God is so legalistic too. He told the children of Israel, don't do this, don't do this. That's legalistic. And then God is so legalistic. Don't cut your hair. Legalistic. Dress good. Legalistic. And you say that, you know, I don't know why this passes. Come on, get off your city. Don't destroy the church with these bad, bad things here. Some of people are just even having styles of hair in the church. It's like that there is competition in the church. Who will wear, and you know, who have got good style? Who have got? It's just like now a fashion show in the church. It is not supposed to be so. The church of God is holy. Be ye holy. For I am holy. Thus says the Lord. I don't say that ladies cannot be. My wife is the best. I'm telling you, you can see her. Come on, if you want to see the picture, I'll show you the picture. She's pretty. I'm telling you, she's like this. But let me tell you, she don't do those things that people do. We have learned to be people who have destroyed the city. You know, I don't know what I'm going to say here. In the churches, I went to a church one day. Let me give this. I know we are late, but let me just give it. I went to a church somewhere, and the sister was, we are together here. And you know, I like to jump. I like to jump. When we are singing, I like to jump. And now I was very happy. But for bad luck, she had these nails, the plastic nails, and it came out, and I stepped on it. And I didn't know. And I was jumping. I stepped on the nails. My. That eye, the eye itself told me there is a danger here. Because I wanted to know what I have done. I have not stepped on her. What's wrong? Oh, my. The bad luck. She had put the color of the fingers there was just like the cloth itself. And plus green, blue, yellow, you know. And she was very good as a Christmas tree. She was nice. But let me tell you, I did a great mistake. I didn't know. Like, thank God, now I'll not be jumping. When I have these ladies together, I don't think I'll be jumping again because she looked at me, I knew there was something wrong. I looked, said, do you know how much that cost? My Jesus, I'm in the service and I'm blessed. And somebody here is asking me, do you know how much that cost? I told her, I don't know. I've never. And truly, I didn't know that they are plastic nails. I didn't know. That was the first time. And I asked my wife, come on, what happened to this lady? Because the nail fell out. She's sick or what? And then my wife told me, you don't know there is plastic nails? I said, I don't know. And we went round. You know, it's very hard to get them in my country. So we went in a big mosque where rich people are. So we went and said, this is the type. And now it was written 600 shillings in Kenya. And you know 600 shillings? Hey, in Kenya, we just work for a dollar. And you know how many dollars is that? They're about $10 to get those fingers. So the lady works about 10 days to get those fingers, those nails. And now I step on it, and it's a set. Just imagine what happened to that lady. But I thank God I stepped on it. It was not good, it's not right. It's no good, and it's not right. That is a city to be destroyed. Yes, sister, I have to step on that. Come on. Well, I always tell them, when I am going to preach somewhere, the first thing to tell the pastor, don't let these ladies with come near me. I have a lot of fresh. So what you have to do, push them there, because I don't want to be attacked. That's it. I don't want to say anything there. I think you understand what I'm saying. I'm still in fresh, and you know what? I'm not an angel. I'm a man. And it's true, I am a man. And I want to just read the scripture because I am a man. So, let me tell you one thing. It's very bad. It's very bad to spare a city. Because it will destroy you and destroy the church. Let us continue here. And adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Oh, come on. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred. Do we have hatred in the church? We don't have hatred in the church? Somebody can lie to me, but I'm telling you, if there is a place that is full of hatred, it's the church today. Why do they speak against each other if they are not hatred people? Why do they fight in the church if that's not hatred? Why do we have many, many divisions in the church? A little church like this, you can see there are about 6 groups with only 30 people, and there are about 7-8 groups here. I don't want to speak my brother here. I don't want to see my sister there. I don't want to see my brother here. He is yellow and I am green. I'm not going to talk to yellow people. I'm not going to talk to green people. I'm not going to... Is that not hatred? What is that? In Bakersfield, we went to a church. My pastor and we asked my pastor for permission to go. I'm used to that. Ask the pastor, if I want to go somewhere, I ask you, can I go here? And we were given permission to go to a revival somewhere. And I was just in the back seat. And the pastor, I'm saying this, you come, I tell you, these are my witness. The pastor came out of a pulpit. He came. He greet a man here. He greet another one. He get my wife, he jumped me, he greet another white man, and then he jumped them, he greet another white man. We were 3 black people there. The pastor could not greet us because we are black. And he had preached a nice message there. We are saved. We are apostolic. Come on. When it comes to apostolic, you can't greet a black person.
Right.
You are racist and you are apostolic. And you are apostolic? I'm not Spanish. I cannot. I hate Spanish. I hate Spanish. I don't believe there is a Spanish who is saved. What do I want to say? The hatred spirit is still in the church today. Go to apostolic churches. They cannot even want, they don't even want to see each other. And they are apostolic. What do I want to say? I preached about hatred in this church. Did I? Ahithophel? Ahithophel who could not forgive? And he have hatred to David.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Killed.
He killed himself.
Yeah.
So the hatred spirit will lead you to destroy yourself.
Yeah.
And because I don't want you to destroy me, I'll get off out of your way and you just go your way because I don't want to be destroyed. So if I see somebody who hates people in the church, I better know that it's a city. And God said, destroy that city. Amen. Oh man. Verse 21. Envying. You know, like envy is, sometimes I see people starting a church because somebody has started a church. I'm enjoying the email and how we are talking with the people in there, with the partalk and all these things. I'm always asking Pastor, how can I do this? I want just do for the glory of God. But there are people who want to do that. It's not because of the glory of God, just to be. Let me forget about mandras. People who see, you know, there's a time, I think it was in San Francisco, I was speaking spiritual abortion. In the church, we still have those people. And it's a city to be destroyed. You know what happens? A young Christian is here. He's not even filled with the Holy Ghost. And you're just looking her very bad because she's wearing pants, because she's painting herself, because her hair is like this, and because she has high heels, and you just even don't want to greet her. You just don't want even to associate yourself with her. And this girl goes back to the street. That's what I call spiritual abortion. If God will judge worldly abortion, then He will judge you too. And that is a city to be destroyed. I'm now finishing. Drunkenness, listen, and such a life. And the Bible says, let us read verse 21, just the B part of it. I tell you, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in this time, in time past, that they which do such a things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I have a question. How many cities do you still have? Somebody said, cool. Let me ask you. You know, I don't mind. I don't mind. You think, you can feel that you are very spiritual. But I have a question for you. Me, I still have a city to destroy. And my wife always tells me, come on, take care of that city. She's tough. She always put me in order. I have a tough wife. I'm telling you, if I can give you my wife 3 days, you can just get her out of your house. Because she is very tough. If you do something little, unless you repent, she will not leave you. Repent, this was not right. Repent, this was not... Come on, sister, I will repent. No, now. And she pushed me. She was like, okay, I will repent in the evening when we are praying. No, now. And then I said, oh God, forgive me. I didn't do that right. And then you say, okay, that's fine now. We have a lot. We have a lot of cities that is still dwells in us. And then now it is your turn to do what? To destroy the city or the city destroy you. You have a choice today. You have a choice. Either you destroy the city or the city destroy you. Let us all stand, please. Give us some music there, if you can, please. I'm telling you this. I know you love your clothes. I know they are very good. I know you don't like those clothes. I know that. It's not that I'm very new to that. I am very sure. I know that you like those miniskirts. You like those styles. I know you like them. But that is a city that will destroy you. When you get now somebody carrying those things, tell her, There's no use of carrying this, because if you don't want to be seen, wear a nice dress. Why hide us and then you get off when you are going on the street? Come on. You are apostolic in the church. You are apostolic in your houses. You are apostolic on the streets. I thank God that some of you in this church will go to Kenya. I am very convinced. And you will see, if you want to go to Kenya, she won't go to Kenya. But I'm telling you this, if you go to Kenya, you'll see. We are very strict in dressing. Good dressing. Come on. Be apostolic. Even, you know what? I don't mind that you think you are so spiritual, you are speaking in tongues on the streets. I don't mind that. How do people see you? I know you speak in tongues. Doesn't matter to me. Speaking in tongues, James says so. Even the devil. My Jesus. He do that. So, the only thing that the devil cannot do is to do right. He cannot do right. So he can speak in tongues, but he cannot do right. So, don't imitate the devil. To speak right and don't live lie. You have to be apostolic when you are out of the church, when you are in the church, even when you are in your house with your husband. I visited a family one day. A pastor, you know, that man was crying every day. I thought that he was full of the Spirit. When we go to the church, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thought that he's so spiritual. Oh, man. If you know why he was doing that, I don't know, I'll tell you today or maybe another time, but let me tell you this. Let me just give a bit of it, just a little. And somebody asked me, you Paul, you don't finish your story, your history in it, it was very bad, very far. Come on, when are you going to finish this? I'm going to tape it and you'll get the CD. I say that. So you'll get the CD. But now this one, let me tell you this. The wife was very bad in the house. Very bad. And when she came to the church, she was a lady that could get drum and be like, hallelujah, hallelujah. Even the pastor says, come, lead us in the worship today. But in the house, she was a devil. In the house, she was a devil. But outside there, she was very good. You know what happened? That man told me one day, can you please, Bishop, visit my house one day? And don't let my wife know. Just come and visit. I said, why do you say that? I want you to know what I go through. Come on. How will I know? You know what happened? I said, we have fellowship on Thursday, so I'll come on Tuesday because it's the young people's day. And you don't go to that service, so I will not be in the service. I'll ask my assistant to go to the church, and I'll visit your house. And don't tell anybody. Said, okay, that's what I'll do. I went, it was about 8, and he was outside, and then he came, and then we met outside, and then I knocked the door. The husband knocked the door. The lady opened the door, and went to the kitchen. You know, our kitchen is just like behind. So he went to the kitchen. She did not even light the lights. You know, we use candles, like these little lamps, like candles. Those ones. I saw one somewhere. I don't know where it is. I showed you the other time. You know, if you don't have a matchbox, you'll have a trouble because you cannot light the light because you don't know what is happening in the house. So it was so dark, and she could not even light the what? The lamb, the man we have just come with her, and I couldn't speak. I went and I sit down in the chair. I sit down and I try to get it over the chair. And then I feel it, oh, this is a chair. And then I just sit, and the husband sit there. The lady was going out of the house, in the house, and she did not know that I'm in the house. Because there is no right. She don't speak to the husband. She don't speak to nobody. And then she brought the food because the husband was tired. He's just from work. And the ladies don't work. So she's just in the house. So the husband is very tired. She just bring the food in the table. She know where the table is. Now, even if you close your eyes, in your house you know where everything is. Now, she knew where the table is. So she just brought the food and put it just good in the table. And she left. And I'm telling you, it's dark. And you know who she's giving food? She sees something black, but she don't know who is that. She thought it's the husband, and it was me. You know what the husband did? She went and stayed in a corner somewhere for me to just see what happens in that house. Ah, Jesus. I finished, and I said, she came, she picked the plate. She don't know who she's giving food. Just get the plate back. And she sit there and she was singing Christian songs. I said, Sister Esther, that sounds like Bishop. Sister Esther said, yes. She came with a lamb and right lamb. And the husband is there. You know, I ate the food. It had no salt. But I just said I want to see what happens here. Sister, do you want to say that you have the Holy Ghost? Can you convince anybody because you speak in tongues, you have the Holy Ghost? Is that the life of apostolic people? Is that the life that you can live? And then he's asking the husband, why did you do me like this? Come on, who did it? Why did you do me like this? You know this is very bad. You invite the bishop here. You may not. I invited myself. I wanted to know what goes on. There are very many make believers in the church. Very good in the church. Out there, they are little demons. We have to destroy those series. Can you all come to the altar, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody have got a city to destroy. You know what is your problem? You know your problem more than any other person. I don't mind you speaking tongues, that's fine. I don't mind you are a very good Christian and you give your tithes. You give the best offering that you can give. But I'm not asking about the offering this time. Yes. I'm not asking about the tithes. I'm not asking about all these things. What I'm asking, do you live a double life?
Jesus.
Do you have a city to destroy?
Yes.
How many people have just backslidden? And they have even doubt in apostolic churches because of you?
Jesus.
How you talk?
Yes.
You cannot talk life. You always talk death. I feel like saying this. We have to repent ourselves.
Yes.
Because if the church is not doing good, it's that we have some cities to destroy.
Yes.
The report of the church is not doing good. Somewhere. We have to repent. We have to know the truth.
Jesus.
That will lead everybody. Let us all go to the Lord. Let us worship Him now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We adore you, Lord Jesus. You are our God, and before thee, there's no another God. the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Worship this God this moment. Father, we adore you. We worship you now, Lord Jesus Christ. There is no another God like you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know how to forgive our sins, O Lord. We have some cities to destroy, O Lord. We pray that you destroy these cities for us, O Lord. We cannot without you, Lord. We bless your name. We say thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let us put our hands together as we call our pastor. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
One more time, let's sing.
Oh, of Jesus.
Give us our sins.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we thank you tonight.
Hallelujah.
God in all the city. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Mortify your members upon the earth. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Be reconciled to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What a word from the Lord.
Yes.
We don't want anything in us.
No.
No leaven to destroy this love, do we?
Right.
Praise God. We want to maintain the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living where we have found in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Feast on the word of the Lord. As it's taught in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom.
Yes.
Amen. Let it dwell in your hearts. Praise Jesus. God. Because it's there He writes all that legislation.
Jesus.
Amen. All the law.
Yes.
Put in your hearts and in your minds.
Amen.
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 So praise the Lord. Brother Roach, you want to say anything?
I've been blessed tonight. Have
yes,
you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's take all this word we've heard from these two ministers and let it sink deep in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Amen.
See you Thursday night. Our evangelist that was coming Thursday is coming at a later time. So let's just come expecting God to move in a mighty way to see what God's going to do next.
Yes.
You're dismissed in Jesus' name.